If you were able to walk into a room confident that you would be well-received, seen, heard, and appreciated by others, and all it took was a few changes in how you navigate your everyday relationships, would you be willing to make those changes? It is possible to be both fully authentic and to experience the best relationships of your life. Now, here is the host of Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Mikayla Gaffin-Stone.
Hello and welcome to Navigating Complicated Relationships. I'm so glad you're here. I have such a cool and really important topic all at the same time for today. We're calling it Fueling Childhood Vitality Naturally. Try saying that five times and fast. But it's such an important topic. So welcome to this podcast episode. I'm going to introduce myself in case there are new listeners. So I am a health coach, but I'm not your typical health coach. I come with a whole toolkit of experience and knowledge to help you on your wellness journey and to help your kids, because not only have I begun as a registered nurse and, you know, caring for people's health firsthand, but then I went into the field of nutrition, learning all about that. I became a behavior analyst, board certified, and so I have this toolkit of so many things that I bring all to the same place. And the whole point of all of it is to bring all those tools to play so that we can get you to the place you want to be at. Whatever aspect of your life needs a tweak, we can do that. So I have a deep understanding of why we do what we do. And that includes why we eat what we eat, and where the emotions come into play, where they are a trigger for certain foods. And childhood is such an important time for this, because that's where most of the triggers get laid down. So for example, if you're a parent listening to this, or a teacher, and you're the child in your care, your child is running across a playground and they fall down, scrape the knee, and what do you want to do with them? But the instinct, the first thing you're going to want to do is have them stop crying, right? You don't want to see the distress. It's uncomfortable for you. Even if that's not what you're thinking it's about, it is. And so you're typically going to reach for a cookie or something that has fat and sugar in it. That's the stuff that we think is comfort food, is helpful. And so you give your child that cookie. And, you know, sure, that helps to dry up the tears because now you've distracted them with this thing that's triggering the reward center in the brain, right? Cookies. So you begin this lifelong association of, I don't feel very good, I'm not happy, I'm going to eat something, right? That is where it begins. So if you're dealing with kids, this is a really important episode for you. There is so much in here that you can change the future for that child in such a good way by not going there with the emotional eating triggers. And also, if it's already begun, that's okay, it's fine, we'll work with where you are. Let's undo that. Let's replace those foods with a behavior that's more functional, right? So this is where nutrition and behavior analysis meet and make a very good pact together to help you and help your child. This is good for the whole family, actually. But, you know, kids, we can get them early without having to undo a lot of stuff. So I'm here to help you reclaim your health, your happiness, your best self, one bite at a time. So let's get this journey going. In this episode, I'm going to look into the world of childhood nutrition and the transformative potential of the WildFit program, which I coach. I have a new cohort coming up on June 3rd, which is a Monday. You have time between now and then to think about it, to contact me, and to sign up, basically, because that WildFit program that I'm talking about is 90 days of genuine transformation. I can put you in touch with any number of people that can tell you their firsthand experience. I can tell you my own. I've been working on health issues with WildFit, and it's made a huge difference for me. So bear that in mind as you're listening to this podcast. And is this something that you would like to investigate and see Is it right for you? Can you do this? Can you commit to it right now? Because wealth, it's not going to give you a meal plan, for example. I'm not going to tell you what to eat. I don't even know what you like. Why am I going to tell you what to eat? And I'm not going to have you count calories, because who does that? You know, calorie counting is really sort of restrictive, and it shifts your focus onto food in a non-functional way, right? Like, if you're looking at how many calories do I have left to eat today, where is the nutrition in that? You know, you could eat a chocolate bar, or you could eat a salad for the same amount of calories. Which one's going to help you? And no, I'm not here to push salad on you either. That was just an example that came to mind. So there is a critical role that your food plays in your health, your well-being, your energy, your longevity, right? And for kids, this same thing, nutrition, food, plays a huge role in supporting their growth, development, and overall health. And picky eating, what is picky eating exactly? You know, I will hear from parents sometimes, my child's a very picky eater. And I ask them, oh, what kind of foods do they want? And I think we have the wrong wording here, because to me, picky eating is when you're very selective and you want certain foods. And my thought is always, when I hear picky, you want the best. But that's not what it is when you talk about kids and picky eating. You'll often hear, well, my child will only eat mac and cheese out of the box. Good Lord. You know, or you'll hear, well, my kid has to have breakfast cereal and they'll eat that three times a day. Or, you know, I heard from a pediatrician once, she was telling me that a client of hers, or a patient, I guess, that the parents said, you know, this child some days will only eat goldfish. And I don't mean the ones that are swimming. I mean those little biscuity things, right? And they'll only eat that. And sometimes that's all they eat all day. And, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind, and yes, it seems rather simple, but why do you buy it? Like, if you don't want them to eat it, don't buy it, right? And your child isn't going to pick out that kind of food without you giving it to them in the first place. So that's the first thing I'd like you to examine, is what role are you playing? What are you putting in front of them that helps them to become picky in this unhealthy way? A child is going to select for things that are easy to eat, that are quickly satisfying. And I don't mean so much that it's filling, more that you have those taste buds on fire, right? You have that high amount of cheesy flavor going on in those little fishy things. You get the crunch, right? They're small, they're really easy to eat. And you can just keep shoving them in, because there's flavor enhancers in there. And the point of that from the food companies is that it makes you want to eat more, right? That is the point. But if you look at what's in the ingredients there, there's nothing natural. Everything is enhanced or enriched. And those are code words for we added chemicals, right? Whenever you see those words, enriched or, you know, some kind of improved flavor, that kind of thing, that sort of little tagline, what you can really read instead is we added chemicals. So that's important. Would you knowingly, would you consciously feed that to your child? Really? I don't think so. And yes, I'm sure I can hear these voices saying, do you know how long it takes to make breakfast? And do you know what it's like to get out of the house in the morning? Well, absolutely. Yes. Yes, I do. Having had two kids, both of whom went to different schools, usually in different directions. Yes, 100% I know what that's like. And neither of my kids were crazy about going to school. And one of them was downright insistent that that was not something he needed to do. So, yeah, I get the breakfast thing. I really do. But if you have a good selection of things in the house, then what you're choosing from is going to start off better, right? And sometimes just grabbing a bag out of the fridge where you've got carrot sticks and pepper stick, you know, pepper cut into strips, like yellow peppers, for example. Kids love those because they're sweet. And then you can have cucumber in there. You can have another bag with celery and peanut butter if there's no allergies and you're allowed to send that with them. You can have those things ready and in the fridge. And there is a really quick start to the day. Now, you might not think that that sounds like a substantial breakfast. Well, it isn't really, but it's got nutrients in it and it is a breakfast. Whereas if you start off the day with cereal, what you're getting is a whole host of chemicals. You're getting processed flour that really doesn't resemble what it came from, and there's chemicals in there, as I've said. It's enriched, it's improved, it's got all this stuff in it. And the whole point to that is it has a long shelf life. But when your child eats it, they're getting sugar, they're getting carbs that turn to sugar really quickly, they're getting milk that comes from an animal that's probably had a whole load of steroids and, antibiotics and other kinds of hormones. They've had stuff going on with them that your child's now consuming through the milk, right? Because think of breastfeeding. You know that whatever you consume goes to your child, right? If you have a kid that has a dairy problem, or not dairy, I guess. Yeah, let's stick with dairy. If you have a child with a dairy problem as a baby and you have cheese and then you breastfeed your child, they're going to be screaming an hour later. So, it does affect them. So this cow has given you this milk. You've put it with this cardboardy stuff that's just processed to hell and back. And then you tell the kids to go to school and have a good day. Well, they're full of sugar and they're full of chemicals and their little bodies have no idea what to do with these chemicals, just like your adult body doesn't. So you're trying to process this and you're trying to build and, grow this child based on artificial food. There's nothing there the child can really use. Then, if you go for things like, that really lucky cereal, shall we say, the one that has all the bright colors and the little, very dried up marshmallowy things, that cereal has trisodium phosphate in it. Well, look on the ingredient list and you'll see it there. And then I invite you to go to your local hardware store and look for a box of trisodium phosphate, and you'll discover that that chemical is what you use to clean your walls before you paint. But it's in the cereal to make the colors bright. Your child's eating that. Your child is consuming that and then pinging off the walls because they have food dye and they have chemicals and they don't have good quality nutrition that their body is desperately looking for. So, what kind of a start to the day is that if you think about it? And I've seen kids go to school with breakfast like a donut and a soft drink, soda. No, that is so bad. It would pretty much be better if they went without food, honestly, because that's doing damage. That is actively doing damage to them. And then these kids, they're pinging off the walls, and someone says, I think your child has ADHD and I think they need medication. Well, if you've had that conversation, or if you're thinking about it now, I would say the first port of call is to look at their food. What are you feeding your child? Now, I'm not accusing anybody of intentionally making bad decisions. The food industry and the marketing industry are very, very clever at persuading you that this is a good thing. You want this thing, right? That's what their job is to persuade you that this is healthy for your kid. This is the great way to start the day. That's how they make their money. So I'm not pointing fingers and saying, hey, it's your fault, but I am saying it's your responsibility to have a look at what's going on and see how can you change it? What would you like to do that's different? Think about that while we go to the break. I am Michaela Gaffenstone, your host for Navigating Complicated Relationships. And today we're talking about food with regards to your children, but also for yourself. Everybody could do with improved energy and improved health, could they not? I will see you in a minute. Don't go away.
What if your relationships could be a source of delight instead of a source of struggle? In a world where human interactions are anything but straightforward, tuning in to Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Michaela Gaffenstone will offer you insights, tools, and a whole new level of understanding for you to use right now. listen for Navigating Complicated Relationships with Makayla Gaffin-Stone. Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Navigating Complicated Relationships with Makayla Gaffin-Stone. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to mickey@gaffinstone.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back. I'm so glad you're still here. And let's just make a note that if you're going to email me, it's mikki@gaffenstone.com. And I love to get emails. I really do. So email me, give me your questions, your concerns, your observations, and I will get back to you, you know, with whatever reply you're looking for, I hope. You know, I'll certainly reply to you anyway. So we're talking about food and the importance of making good decisions despite what the food industry tells you and what the marketing that they use tells you. Now, one of my favorite examples is the cereal advertisements where, you know, the couple are both very attractive and they're very slim and they're well-dressed and they just look effortlessly casual, right? While their children are so happy to go to school, they're all bouncy and full of joy and everything's in their backpack like it's supposed to be. And, you know, they didn't lose a shoe. Yes, they have their socks on and all those things. When they're ready to go to school, even the dog doesn't shed, right? The cat doesn't jump up on the counter. None of these things that we all know happen in these advertisements. The countertops are shiny white. There's not a speck of dust, dirt, or a coffee ring in sight. Wow, what a life, right? Does it look like yours first thing in the morning? No. And that's what they're selling you, is that lifestyle. And how do you get that lifestyle? Well, glad you asked. The answer, of course, is you buy the product that they're selling you. And in this particular case, I'm thinking of a cereal. If you have that cereal, everybody's going to feel great and everybody's going to behave wonderfully and, you know, happy campers all over the place. Wow, really? You know, but that's what we're sold. And it's so commonplace. It's so continuous. And it's been doing, you know, for years, it's been doing a number on your subconscious that you just see this and realize, oh, yeah, I do need to get that cereal, because you want that lifestyle, right? You want that success. You want to be that happy family where your kids actually want to go to school, right? And I never met anybody that has that going on in their day. That's not typically what we have. So you're up against a very sophisticated machine that is designed to trick you into buying what essentially I have to call crap, right? It is not a food, it is a product. And it's not edible, it's consumable, meaning you can ingest that, you can take it into your body, it's not going to kill you right away, but it's not doing you any favors. And this is something that you learn about, a little spoiler here, but when you're doing Wild Fits, when you go through that coaching program, you're going to learn which foods are helping you and which foods are hindering you. And here's a news flash for you. When you typically eat the same foods over and over, which most people do, most people have like a range of about 10 things. So if you're curious about that, have a look at what do you eat during the week and How commonplace are those foods? Like, how often do you eat them? You probably have the same breakfast every day, for example, and you're going to have the same vegetables over and over if you're somebody who eats vegetables, right? Not everybody does. So you have this minimal range of food that you eat over and over again, and you don't think about it, right? Because it's just that's a necessary part of the day. And particularly in the US, we are encouraged to, eat in the car, buy this fast food thing while you're driving to soccer practice or you're driving your kids here, and everybody's eating in the car. Good grief. That is not a good situation right there, gotta tell you. That's not paying attention to digestion. That is not paying attention to your food and noticing how it feels in your body, noticing how it tastes. Does it really taste that good, or are you just used to it? And something that one of my clients found recently was that he'd been eating differently and, finding the foods that worked for him. And then he went out to a restaurant, excuse me, and had, excuse me, and had a meal at this restaurant. Now, the food tasted much, I think, more or less as he'd expected. Some of it wasn't quite as nice as he thought it was going to be. But the real breakthrough came about an hour later when he wasn't feeling very good. He's feeling kind of lethargic and just a little off, not ill, but just a little off. And then he realized, wait a minute, I used to feel like this all the time. Wow, and now I don't. And it was only when he had a revisit to how he used to feel through eating that meal at the restaurant that he realized, holy smokes, my whole well-being lifted up, right? Like my energy is better. Same client, by the way, discovered that the coffee in the morning that he thought was helping him to be productive was actually giving him anxiety and causing procrastination and wheel spinning because of the anxiety. Now, I ask you, how many people out there, how many busy parents, for example, rely on coffee to get through their day? But is it actually helping you? Do you know that? Have you ever tested it? I am happy to coach you through testing it because if coffee works for you and you like it and it doesn't do anything bad to you, cool, go for it. Absolutely. I'm not here to tell you what you can and can't have. What I'm here to do is to help you find the best way to eat for your health and well-being and how to do that with your children because they are an open book and you can write that chapter how you want to, right? You are in a position to introduce foods to your child that's going to help and not hinder. So the first thing I'm going to focus in on, let me see if anybody's surprised here. I doubt it, but sugar. We have sugar in so many foods now. It's basically, if it's a product, it's got sugar in it. This is pretty much a guarantee. And just in case you haven't listened to my previous podcast episodes, I'm going to tell you there are 257 names of sugar. That is the correct number, 257 names. Now, I invite you to think about why the companies have found it necessary to have 257 names. Is it because they're all chemically so different? No, it isn't. The main reason that we have these names is because when you look at a food label, the list of ingredients goes in order of priority in that, order of the, we have most of this, then we have that, then we have that. So it's the quantities, right? And even if you're a health conscious person and you're looking at the labels, when you look at that label, unless you have access to all of those names of sugar, chances are they're slipping some past you. And what happens if you have a label with, say, eight names of sugar in there, you have eight different types of sugar, but they're all sugar, it brings it down in the list. And it's also probably names that you don't recognize. So you can look at this and say, oh, hey, there's no sugar in this, or there's very little. This is okay. And if that was true, it would be. But it isn't true. That's why they have all these names. They kind of fit it in. Why do they give you all this sugar? Because it brings you back for more. Sugar is the other white powder. It's addictive. It's something that once you're into sugar, you're going to be looking for sugar. And you have those highs and lows through the day of energy and mood and all those things. So if that's how it affects you as an adult, think about that for your child. Their little bodies are metabolizing very quickly, and it's just a bigger action in their little bodies, right? So they're like this all day. They are bouncing up and down, good mood, bad mood, hungry, hangry. You know, they're all over the place, pinging off the walls, loads of energy, head down on the desk, don't want to do anything, lethargic. You know, they have all these things going on during the day, and your poor teacher is trying to keep up with these kids, and they automatically go to the idea that, you know, this child has bad behaviors, they are a problem, or they need medication for ADD or ADHD if they're pinging off the walls, right? But is that true? And chances are, no, it isn't. It's the stuff they're eating, and sugar is a huge part of that. It's in everything. I even found it in hot sauce the other day. Like, you have to read the labels and read them so carefully, because sugar plays an important role for your taste buds and also the reward center in your brain. The reward center in your brain is like, oh yeah, give me some more of that. Just like it does with cocaine, right? Not that I've had cocaine, I haven't, but we all know that that's addictive and that's how it works. The brain wants another hit, the brain wants another hit. It's the same thing for sugar. So taking foods out that have sugar in them, it's a tough task, but it's doable. And it's a place I suggest you start. And before you do that to your child, because they're not going to like it very much, right? That if you're addicted to a substance such as sugar, you're not going to say, oh yeah, that's great, I don't need cookies anymore. No, you have some work to do. But the first thing I'm going to say to do is, before you take any of that out, start adding fruit. Find fruits that they like, and then vegetables that are sweet, such as carrots and the yellow peppers that I mentioned earlier. They're very sweet and juicy. These are foods that your child can get to like, and if they're not used to them, and you get the crunch and you get the juice and the sweet flavor, get them used to eating fruit first and sweeter vegetables, and then start taking the sugar out. Just don't buy it. If you have it in the house, it will get eaten. So don't buy it, and nobody's going to eat it. Think of what else could you do instead. I've just given you a really effective replacement for sugar, which is fruit. There's natural sugar there, but there's a whole lot of other things too. And I just want to mention, not fruit juice, okay? Juice is actually as bad as soda. I know, shocking, right? Particularly when they say, but it's got added calcium and vitamin C and it's got to be good. Except this is sugar without all the fiber and the other things to slow it down when it gets into your body. So it goes straight into your bloodstream and it triggers insulin, like, oh boy, there's all this sugar going on. And it becomes, you know, the triglycerides reading that you get if you get a blood test. That's sugar, and it's sugar that's stored in your fat. So this typically comes from things like fruit juice. That is an area for it. So eat the whole fruit. It takes longer, the sugar takes longer to get into the bloodstream, and you have a whole lot of nutrition there. Your body will thank you for it, and so will your child's body. They will also not have the sugar highs and lows that they get all day. You know what happens if you consistently have this blood sugar high low thing happening, and the reason for it is because of sugary foods? It leads to conditions like diabetes. When I first became a nurse, I never met a child with type 2 diabetes, ever. That just wasn't a thing. Typically, people would be around 80 or so before they had type 2 diabetes. And now it's commonplace. What happened? This nutritional disaster happened. The food companies happened. I will see you in a minute, and we'll get back to some more ideas of how you can change what's happening for your child and for yourself, and what role WildFit could play in that. So now go away. You are listening to Michaela Gaffin Stone on Navigating Complicated Relationships. See you in a minute.
What if your relationships could be a source of delight instead of a source of struggle? In a world where human interactions are anything but straightforward, tuning in to Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Michaela Gaffin Stone will offer you insights, tools, and a whole new level of understanding for you to use right now. Listen for Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin Stone, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin Stone. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Mickey@GaffinStone.com. Now back to the program.
You can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and less often on Instagram. So if you're looking for Michaela Gaffin Stone, you will find me and then send me a message. Let me know what's going on for you. Ask me any questions you have and let's see where we go from there. So today we are talking about the importance of nutrition in childhood, but it also extends to the family, right? And the first thing I mentioned before the break that you need to remove from the diet, and it really is a need to, is sugar. This is the case for everybody, because sugar, the need for that next hit of sugar will affect your decision making. And it not only affects your decision making regarding food, but it affects your decision making in your daily life. Think about it. If you're in the throes of an addiction, and yep, that is the word I'm using for sugar, then depending on where you are, whether you've just got a hit of it and you're feeling good, or whether you're looking for your next donut or whatever it is, the quality of decisions that you make will be affected by that. So you're not making your best possible decisions from that place. You can't. So how's your child going to choose good decisions? How's your child going to like work with that at school? They have a lot going on and they have a lot to learn, and it's too much. Now, if you have a child with autism or some other neurodiversity, you are not doing them any favors by giving them sugary food. This is adding to the problem. It's not helping. It's another thing for them to battle through. And your kid has got enough challenges in a society that doesn't really accept them for who they are just yet. We're getting closer. We're working on it. But we're in the process of moving from needing these kids to fit in, which is nonsense, to having them belong, which is correct. We're kind of moving towards having these kids belong. But how tough are you making that job if they're having sugar and pinging off the walls, right? It's really not helping those behaviors. It's not helping their control. So, you know, getting sugar out of the house is going to help everybody, but particularly your child. The second thing I'd like to mention is processed food. Now, I cannot emphasize this one enough either. Both sugar and processed food in general are doing your body and your child's body a huge disservice, because when the food is processed, it is altered. It is no longer what your body would recognize as food. Now, when you come and do WildFit with me, you're going to learn that there are different types of hunger. And one of them, I'll give you a heads up right now about it, a little spoiler, if you will. One of those hungers is nutritional hunger. And this is important, because nutritional hunger is the thing where your body's saying, Yeah, you ate calories. I got that. Yeah, you ate food, but where's my nutrition? Where's the building blocks for me to work with? Eat more. And that's basically the message that you get, which is why we have so many children who are becoming obese and adults who are obese. It's because they're getting the wrong signals. They're eating the calories, but those calories are processed. They don't have the nutritional content that your body needs to repair you, to rebuild you, to grow your child, to, fuel the brain. It doesn't have those things when you're eating processed food. Remember, enriched means chemicals have been added. Improved, chemicals have been added. They're not making it better quality. Improved doesn't mean that when it comes to the food industry. It just means, hey, we found another chemical that's going to trigger your brain to want to eat this. So if you're going to a fast food place and you're eating these questionable foods, and I say questionable because, are the potato chips really potato? Typically speaking, no. Is the meat really meat? Well, there's other stuff in there. So are you actually eating food or are you eating a product? Are you consuming a product? Typically, you're consuming a product. Your body's still saying, yeah, I got that, but where's my nutrition? Right? And that's something for you to remember when you're making your food choices. Your child needs nutrition. You need nutrition. Food products don't have nutrition. What they have is shelf life. So if you're somebody who's living in a food desert or you're living in a country that has a food shortage, and all you can get is the stuff with a long shelf life. Well, it's really sad that that's the case, but it's more understandable than for someone who has options. If you have fresh produce there, that's what you need to look at, is the fresh produce. Now, kids typically need to try a thing a few times before they'll decide whether they like it or not. Notice whether your child is driven by texture. Color? Is it the smell of the food? Typically, one of the senses is going to be showing up more than the others when it comes to food. And that's before you get to taste, right? So I don't like the look of that. Oh, that, it's meat. It looks horrible. Or I don't like the look of green vegetables. I'm not going to eat those. Or that thing that you just made smells funny. I don't want to eat it. So what is your child picking up on when you offer them different foods? There will be something. And if you have a child that's looking for sweet things, then, crunchy often goes well with that. And as I mentioned earlier, peppers and carrots, even celery with, a dip or a peanut butter or something will be good. Peanut butter without sugar added, may I say. But, you can look at that and sort of use that information to help guide your food choices when you're next in the store. But the key really is buy as little as possible that's in a can or a package. Now, I'm sure you're saying at this point, yeah, do you know how long that takes to make food all the time? Absolutely, yes. And it's also the thing that keeps you alive, and it's the thing that gives you health. So spending a little time on your cooking is necessary. It's a good idea. And working that into your day is a good idea. That said, there are some hacks, if you will, if you want to call it that, that you can use to make that a bit quicker and to make it easier when you need it to be easier. I mentioned something earlier on, having in the fridge some bags of vegetables that are cut up and ready to go. And you just grab the bags and, here you go, kiddo, off you go. Pack your child's lunch the night before and have a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables in there that they can choose from, not processed stuff, because if it's not processed, then their options are limited to the healthier foods and they will get used to this. Introduce it bit by bit. If they if they currently eat a whole lot of processed food, then start by just introducing a few things. Don't rush it all at once. Nobody likes a major change in life like that, particularly when it comes to food, funnily enough. And then have a look at your own behaviors. What do you do around food? Do you tell your child that they have to clean their plate? Do we still have starving children in other countries that are going to benefit if you eat your peas? You know, I grew up with that and I thought it was nonsense then, and I still think it's nonsense. And nobody ever sends the peas to those countries, right? So if this is what you're typically saying, you probably learned it yourself as a child and you're repeating it because it seems to be good. Plus, you will have some hangover from that, if you will, where it's difficult for you to not empty your plate, right? And maybe you're a parent who will go and clean your child's plate as well. If you have let them leave stuff, you're still going to consume it. But I ask you now, who is the trash can? You, your child, or actually the trash can? You know, if you're going to have food left over, can you compost it? Do you have animals? Do you have dogs you can give it to? Will that work? Can you throw it out for the crows? Like, what can you do with it other than eat it yourself when you don't need it? What can you do with it other than set up this unfortunate relationship with food for your child? Because if you did come from a clean plate household, then you already know what I'm saying, don't you? You already know how hard it is to not clean the plate. And did you get praise as a child for cleaning the plate? Do you do that with your kid? Oh, look at you. You ate everything. That's so good. Is it though? It is if they needed it and if they were hungry. But if they ate it because you told them to, I think that kind of loses some of the shine, right? Because now you're overriding the body's signals to say, I've had enough. And that becomes a problem later in life, because if you don't know when you've had enough, well, if the food's got flavor enhancers in it and so on, you'll keep eating, right? That's one of the reasons why when somebody goes on a traditional diet, whether it's an adult or unfortunately children these days, those diets still have flavor enhanced foods in them typically, but they're calorie counted or they're portion controlled. And none of this is paying attention to what your body needs and when you've had enough to eat. So here's something for you to consider about eating whole foods, healthy foods, foods that haven't been messed with is what I'm talking about. When you eat those, you don't need to count calories. You don't need to even worry about portion control, because that nutritional hunger I mentioned earlier will kick in and say, oh, hey, that was good. I've had enough. Thanks. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. And that's where the calorie is a calorie argument falls down completely, because it's not true. A calorie of avocado is not the same as a calorie of soda. Clearly, how could you think it would be? It just, you know, it isn't. We're told that, but that is a misdirection. Again, if you've looked at my previous podcast episodes, you may have come across one that was all about agnotology. Agnotology is something I'd love for you to investigate for yourself. It is a field of study that began in the early 90s, and you can get a degree in this. So it is a legit field of study. And what it looks at is the manipulation, misinformation, and doubt sowing that big companies such as food companies, pharmaceutical companies, and yes, the government all do this. And by the way, for those who are politically inclined, I mean any government. It doesn't matter who's in power, they all do it. It's what they do, it's how they operate. So they keep people in confusion. When a study comes out saying, hey, aspartame's really bad for you, just, you know, hold your breath, count to 10, and there will be half a dozen studies coming out from all sorts of interesting places that sow doubt about that. And some people who really want to keep having the artificial sweetener will say, but look at all these studies that say it's fine. That, my friends, is agnotology in action. Those studies aren't real. Now, I'm not against science. I'm very much for science. What I'm against is people lying about it. And that's what happens with the food industry a lot. So this is something for you to consider while we go on break. But you are being by the food industry, and it affects your child's health as well as yours. I'll see you in just a moment as we get toward the end of this episode and look at some more sort of things for you to do in the next little while and see how they work. Be back in a minute.
What if your relationships could be a source of delight instead of a source of struggle? In a world where human interactions are anything but straightforward, tuning in to Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Michaela Gaffin-Stone will offer you insights, tools, and a whole new level of understanding for you to use right now. Listen for Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Mickey@GaffinStone.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm so glad that you're still here. And I hope you're making notes about the things that I'm talking about today and see what works for you, right? Because I'm not actually here to sort of berate you and say, hey, you're doing it all wrong. What I'm here to say is there is this big machine out there, this whole agnotology driven thing that is deliberately misinforming you and making your job harder. As a parent, it's harder. As a human being, it's harder because there's all these food products out there that are made to be attractive and made to be interesting to you. And your child's eyes light up because of all the pretty colors and, you know, the sugar and all those things. And so you kind of want to do more of that because it's a happy space, but it's a false happiness. It's not got a long lasting quality to it. And it's based on chemical hits from sugar, for example. So it's unfortunate. I'd love to tell you sugar's great for you, but it really isn't. And if you want to support your child doing well in school, and by doing well, you know, put whatever caveat you want in that, but basically getting through the school day as well as they can, learning things and not having big behaviors that cause everybody problems, then food is the first thing to look at. Now, if you come and do the Wild Fit program, I recommend you do it with me as your coach because I can individualize it to you, to your family's needs, and I can do a family program for you. So that literally covers what everybody needs in that group. Everybody's got their needs and their concerns addressed as we go through this process. And by the end of the 90 days, you will see some pretty significant differences in everyone. You might not necessarily predict what it's going to be. And here's another spoiler for you, but weight loss, it happens when you need it to happen, but it's a side effect. It's a happy side effect, but we don't really focus so much on, oh, how much weight have you lost this week? That will happen as your body gets rid of the stuff it doesn't need because it's getting the stuff it does need. For me, I did the last program with my clients. I kind of like to do that. And I'll do the next one on June 3rd with my clients. And I dropped 20 pounds during that time and another 5 since then. We finished a couple of weeks ago. I'm not starving. I'm not hungry. I'm not depriving myself of anything that I look at and say, ooh, I want to eat that. Absolutely. If I want to eat it, I'll eat it. It's just that what I'm prioritizing is the nutrition, the good quality food, the food that has stuff in it that my body can use. That's the difference. And I don't count calories and I don't restrict. So this is something that's very important. If you're doing it for the whole family and you're involving your kids, you don't want to start restricting people. That has a very short-term life, right? Because who likes to be restricted? And if you're using willpower and gritting your teeth, like I'm going to get through this to lose 5 pounds or whatever it is, you may lose the 5 pounds. That's possible. Traditional diets do that all the time. But it doesn't last because you have no idea why you're eating what you're eating or what it's doing to you. Nobody's explored that with you. And that's the difference. That's what I'm offering you with WildFit. and with my next cohort that starts on June 3rd. So if you have a family and you want to do like a family group where it's all about you guys and the individual requirements, then I'm happy to talk with you about that and we can set that up. Absolutely. It's fun for me to do and it's fun for you to experience, I would say, because you get all these health benefits too. And suddenly you get this energy that you can have and enjoy. Another one of my clients, in fact, if you look on my Facebook page, you'll see a video from her a couple of days ago where she's saying that at the start of her journey with WildFit and with my coaching, she would exercise a couple of times a week and, you know, wasn't a big deal, wasn't her favorite thing to do. And now she has so much energy, she has to get up and move. She wants to move. And so she's going for walks and she's running and she's swimming and she's doing all kinds of things because she's enjoying them, not because anybody tells her she has to. Now, would you like your child to be energetic in a good way, you know, energetic enough to play soccer or, you know, softball or whatever it's going to be? Do you want your child to have that kind of energy where they have an enthusiasm for life with it? Or, you know, sitting on the sofa watching TV or playing games or something. There's a place for that. But if that's what you're doing every single day, all day when you're not being made to be at school or at work, then is that really living your best life? That's your definition. It's up to you to choose. But I'm going to say it's worth a try to see how you feel when you're eating better food for your body. And we only have a few minutes left, but something else you'll learn is how, although you might think that buying good quality food, organic or regenerative beef, for example, if you're buying those, I will often hear, oh, that's too expensive. But you know what? It isn't. It's not too expensive. When you stop buying the junk, you have all that money available from the junk to put into the good food. Ha! Huh. You might even end up spending less. How wild is that? But it's true. And I'll show you how in the coaching program. So if you're interested, I invite you to contact me either by email, Mickey, M-I-K-K-I, at gaffenstone.com, G-A-F-F-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.com. Or find me on Facebook, find me on LinkedIn, send me a message, and we can have a conversation about that. No pressure. We just want to see if this is right for you and if your family are ready to have more energy, better health, and longer lives. Because did you know that we're actually living less now than the previous generation? The life expectancy went down by a couple of years. Now, that might not sound like much, but think of the trend. We really should be living longer, 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 not shorter. And this is the first time in centuries that the time has gone down for people. A big part of that is the food products that you're eating and the medications that allow you to keep eating them. So if you'd like to have a conversation with me about that, I am totally here for it. If your children have behaviors going on and you're not sure if it's the food or if it's something else, we can look at that and see. We can figure that out. I have the nutrition knowledge and I have the behavior knowledge. So we can put those two things together. I'm not going to tell you something that's just, you know, out of the air with my agenda kind of deal. I'm all about helping you to live your best life and helping your child to succeed. We need this generation to do better than we did. And we need to give them the tools to do that with. Now, food is the first tool that you absolutely have to make sure that child has. Really good quality food. So this episode is coming to an end very, very shortly. So once again, Mickey at gaffenstone.com, M-I-K-K-I at G-A-F-F-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.com. Contact me and we'll have a conversation. Meanwhile, have a wonderful week and I will see you very, very shortly. Remember, you can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Thank you for listening. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Navigating Complicated Relationship Show. Mikayla returns Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, remember every relationship is a journey, and with the right tools, you can create stronger, more fulfilling connections.